podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Remember when I told you that 12 tons of Kit Kats were stolen?
Yes.
And Kit Kat are now beefing up security because they're like, oh, we didn't realise that people would come for Kit Kats. Like, there's so many other things to steal.
Yeah, true.
You know, and Kit Kats, like, why? You know what I mean? But I guess there has been rumours of a chocolate shortage or the cocoa bean.
Yeah, the cost of cocoa has gone up, absolutely. Yeah, the
coca bean.
Oh, wouldn't have said it like that.
Really?
Without the accent,
mate. Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's why. People were just like, I just want to make sure my family has enough Kit Kat to get us through the next couple of generations.
We did think that they should have snuck off with a quieter chocolate.
Yes. You could never steal a ton of, like, a couple of tons of flake.
No,
because there would be like a trail of mess, right? Yeah. So you've got to be very particular about what you're stealing.
Like Hansel and Gretel.
This has happened closer to home in Sydney.
Mm.
And there's this really famous place in Sydney that has the best lobster roll.
Oh,
okay, and everyone goes there for their lobster roll. It's called Cracker Seafood in Regent's Park in Western Sydney, right? And apparently they had 1 ton of lobster stolen at 4:38 a.m. yesterday.
That's a crime of opportunity, I think.
A ton of lobster.
A ton's a lot.
So, okay, I put it in terms that we could understand.
Yeah.
Right? So that's like a fully grown bull.
A bull load of lobster.
Of lobster, right? Or maybe like a truckload of sand. You know, sand from the beach here.
Yeah.
You know, truckload of sand.
That's a lot of lobster. I imagine it's in vacuum seal.
Really? Okay, because I have questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's discuss it between us two, brains trust. So obviously not, so you don't think it's like live lobsters?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Not a tank.
Okay.
Because then the weight is in the water, yeah? You're paying for the water.
Right. See, you're a smart businessman. That's why I need you.
If you're putting in a roll, you know, unless it's part of the whole experience where they actually fresh chop the lobster, I imagine it'd be like seafood filler where it's in like vacuum seal packs and on a pallet.
Yeah.
And that's how you get a ton of lobster.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know how much a ton of lobster is worth?
$400 million.
Yeah. Roughly. It's between 80 grand and 130 grand.
Wow.
Worth of lobster. So why do you get it? A little shop in Sydney.
Yeah.
With the best lobster roll.
Yeah.
Number one, why are you ordering a ton of lobster?
Well, they make a lot of rolls.
Yeah, I know, but a ton? And then where are you putting it? Oh, yeah, just put it in the back fridge. Something seems amiss.
No. Okay, so here's what I think. Either, one or two things has happened. Either there's a guy on the inside.
Yeah.
Inside job.
Inside the roll.
Who works at the
lobster roll. How did I get in this lobster roll?
Oh, my God, I'm in a lobster roll. Don't eat me. There's an inside guy either working for the lobster company, like he is in the delivery company, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is maybe, you know how deliveries sometimes get left outside stores? So like a 3 a.m. delivery has happened of a pallet of lobster, right? And it's been dropped at the back door and someone has seen that and gone, oh, I reckon that's lobster. And then a week later gone past, oh, this happens every Thursday. Oh, all right. Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to because you don't steal a ton of lobster without having something to do with it. You know
really?
What I mean?
Really? I don't know, because also quite whiffy. So maybe Kit Kat, quite audio based. You know, scary to steal. Where are you putting a ton of lobster?
This is what I'm saying. Like, you know, you've got to have another guy to sell it
plan.
To. You've got to be
game
there's, plan. There's a whole supply chain going on there. A
lot of sharks in Sydney. Something's going on at King's Cross.
Yeah.
Hey, I got lobster.
Inside a jacket.
Smell some of this. It's fresh as.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
It's their radio show in a podcast.
Ryrie Street Maccas. I've had some times there.
I've had some good times.
I've had some end of the night times there.
Mm-hmm. I've had some start of the morning times there.
Oh, yeah, well,
yeah. You know what I mean? And when those two meet, that's nice. Yeah. You know when you see a tradie going off to work, but you're coming home from a banger of a night, and you just give each other the nod like, this hash brown is going to get us both through.
That has never happened to me.
Really?
No.
You got to live more.
So someone was having a time there yesterday evening. The Addies reported here that 5:45, out the front, there was a gentleman who was having a bit of a verbal back and forth with a group of 10 teenage boys. I mean, we've all been there.
Mm.
You little turds.
No, I met a nice little crew the other day. They were building a treehouse.
Were they?
Yeah. And they were all swearing. Sorry, I don't want to bog you down. Do you want to hear this or not?
Yeah.
So I was walking through in Ocean Grove, and they were building a treehouse, and they were getting bits of scrap wood and stuff, and they were swearing their heads off. Yeah. But then when I walk through, they're like, hello, how are you? And I'm like, great, you're building a treehouse. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, how cool is that? And they're like, it is cool. And then as I walked off, they were just like, yeah, anyway, so, and they were all swearing. Oh. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
I had them. A really nice interaction.
Oh, there's hope for the next generation. Yeah. Yet. Anyway, so a man out the front, he's obviously had a bit of a sort of back and forth with this crew. You know, there's that bit on Ryrie where you can sit outside, but you're sort of inside as well.
Yeah.
I reckon they were in there and he was on the footpath.
Okay.
And they did say, the boys said, we were hyping him up a little bit, giving him a bit.
Okay.
Right. And then he's pulled out his homemade nunchucks.
Oh, God. Oh, God. No.
Which, I mean, makes sense because who doesn't leave home without their homemade nunchucks?
I have so many questions, so I'm going to let you continue.
I've got homemade size because I'm more of a Raphael guy than a Michelangelo.
Oh, I thought you meant size, like you do push-ups before you leave the house.
Oh, no, not size.
I'll make it at home.
Like size. And then I size. Yeah,
it's very good.
Yeah, so he was swinging them around, and turns out they reckon it was made from, it looks like big, long, black, like almost like a torchy sort of arrangement.
Oh, okay.
But they did say it was like straps from the back of a ute with a really heavy carabiner attached as well.
Oh, damn.
Quite okay. Creative.
Yeah.
I mean, points for lateral thinking, putting together those things to
make.
Nunchucks.
This is an art attack. Mm. No, this is just an actual attack.
This is a physical attack. anyway, that was about it. Sort of bit of back and forth. Then he crossed the road and headed towards the Sporting Globe, still brandishing his nunchucks. And what I will say, as someone who has tried to get into, like, because Sporting Globe is one of our favourite venues.
Yeah.
As someone who's tried to get in with, you know, my own nunchucks, they are going to stop you.
They've got a no nunchuck policy.
Yeah.
It's really hard
Nil
to say.
Nunchucks.
Nil nunchucks.
Nunchucks. Anyway, before we wrap this up, because it's like he disappeared into the, police said they couldn't find him.
Okay.
So he's still out there with his nunchucks. But we need to ask the age-old question, is that if you were in the middle of the Torquay Highway, would you rather have homemade nunchucks
with
10 teenage boys?
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, God. That's a question I cannot answer. I'm not sure because the boys, it depends. Like, I always get nervous because you never know. Do you know what I mean? But the nunchucks do seem cool, but I'm also likely to hurt myself.
Mm. Yeah, you would swing them around, whack yourself in the face. Whereas I think, see, if you came at me with 10 teenage boys as backup, right, all they would have to do is, like, start insulting me and I'll be back in high school.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I would cave.
No, don't talk about it. Come on. Yeah, it's all right. You're safe now. It's not your fault, mate.
It's not my fault,
is it?
It's not my fault.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
I need to replace the headlight in my car.
Oh,
I've done it many times before. I've had this car for a long time.
Yeah.
It's an old PLS.
I've been in your car at night. It's one of those ones that you're like, I can kind of see.
Yeah. What do you mean?
But a lot of, you know how a lot of older cars, the new cars
are
sort of like, oh my God, I'm blind.
I don't know. I've never driven one.
But you see new cars on the road.
They blind me.
They're very bright. Whereas older cars have different kind of headlights. And when you go from driving, just say a newer car and then jump into an older car, you're like, whoa, you can just barely see in this thing.
Yeah. So I guess it's that sort of the plastic's gotten a bit cloudy is the.
Yeah.
Cataracts for cars. Hey?
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've got to change it. And I've done it many times before and I will do it. But I was going to do it 2 days ago, pulled into the garage, opened the bonnet because I have to like unscrew some stuff to get to the actual back of the light.
Yeah. Look at you.
Oh, mate.
What?
Handy guy.
Mechanic Tom.
I just don't want people to know about it. I've got to roll.
Is that why you oil up?
It's my character.
Oh.
Look, I don't know what I'm doing. I am actually very capable.
You were wearing overalls, but one of the straps was down.
Yeah.
And you had no T-shirt underneath.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just grease everywhere.
Just a little bit of nipple.
Nah, you've lost me now. I hate when you say nipple. I absolutely hate it when you say nipple.
Yeah, I'm good with my hands. So had to leave, but it was the engine was hot because I'd just been driving, so I left the bonnet open. Forgot about it because life, you know. And then the next morning I went out there and I looked at my engine. And sure, it's an old car, right? And so it's dusty in the engine, bit dirty, right? Mm. I've sent you three photos that I took of my engine.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's a particularly impressive engine. I drive a very small hatchback. But I want you to tell me what you're looking at. What can you see in these photos?
Okay. Well, first off, I see someone that has tried to tinker around and doesn't really know what they're doing, but look, that's okay.
That we'll give it
a
crack.
Because I'm a guy, and you know what? I can do anything.
Yeah.
It seems to me as if you might have some type of animal walking in the dust. I cannot place what type of animal it is, though. It's like it's almost like paw prints.
Yeah.
But little claws, but they don't look like cat pads or dog pads.
No.
So then it makes me think, is it possibly some type of raccoon type, not raccoon, but possum like type?
Why would you go raccoon? We live in Australia.
No, I know. Sorry. Australia, sorry, mate. Sorry. But that kind of vibe. But also then,
do you know
it
what also,
really
do you know
match.
What also it couldn't be? A gargoyle.
Well,
there's exactly as much chance of it being a raccoon.
Is it a toucan, possibly?
Is it a quokka?
Even all right, they are, all right, I get what you're
isolated
saying.
Isolated to Rottnest Island.
I get what you're saying. There's definitely some type of scratch situation, but I cannot place that foot.
Okay, so here's a context. For people who obviously can't see the photo, right, the bit where there's the big plastic cover that covers the pistons and stuff, right? There's a little trail of little footprints along there. But then there's another bit that's the air intake, like, pipe.
Mm.
It's a big, thick, black plastic pipe, right? And it bends down around an elbow, but it goes down as it goes around the elbow. And there are prints there, but they get scratchy up the top of the pipe. So something has tried to climb up there and had to scramble its way up there. So you can see exactly what's going on. Some people are suggesting possum. Mm. Got to be a small possum, though.
Could be a small horse. I've sent you...
Is it a Clydesdale?
I've sent you some footprints of classic birds and animals, right? Now, you tell me the thing that... You tell me what it looks most like
one
in
of
that
these
picture
says,
that I've sent you.
One of these says black bear. So there's bobcat, coyote, black bear. I don't know if we can trust this.
Yeah, but you went me for saying raccoon. But does raccoon not look like the most appropriate out of the pictures that I've sent you?
I think I've got a rat, I think is the...
Oh, rat!
I think it's a rat.
I didn't think of rats.
That overnight has gone to the engine because it's warm, yeah? And has tried so...
Oh.
So I think that's the reasonable... Is that not the only reasonable explanation for...
Mate, you're asking me. My brain don't do reasonable explanations.
No, right. So anyway, I'm going to buy a whole heap
it's
of poison.
It's a camel. Don't! So
camel? I can't poison. I can't poison a camel, mate. That'd be terrible. What would I do with the body?
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggie, say thanks.
Have you ever caught a human being?
A bit random, but I was telling you a story this week about a lady who was overseas and she was attending a carnival.
Yep.
And it was one of those rides where it's like basically a big seesaw with two baskets on the end, but then it rotates all the way around and one person's up really high and the other one's down really low. As she was making her way around the floor area, she then flipped up, fell out of the cabin, and three people caught her.
Three guys were just there and they just happened to put their arms out and catch her and everybody's okay.
And then you were thinking, have you ever caught a human?
Yeah, because I've often wondered what I would do in that situation, because it seems like it's fraught with danger.
Well, we've all seen movies as well.
Exactly.
Like, hold on to my hand. Mm. You know, that kind of bizzo.
Must happen, though. So on 52232955, Steve and Kerr Lewis, start us off, mate. Have you ever caught a human being?
I have. We were out exploring some bit of nature, waterfalls around Beechworth, and my daughter slipped as we were sort of traversing along, and she fell into the water race, and she's shooting down, about to go past me, and I just managed to reach down and grab her before she went out with the rest of it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, what did you grab, her leg or her arm?
I think it was an arm. It just kind of happened.
Just grab whatever. Oh my god, Steve.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you don't even sort of think. You just do.
You just grab. You're a hero, just put your Steve. Hands out. Brilliant. We love to see it.
All right, Joe's in Marshall. Morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Ever caught a human being, mate?
Yeah, it was my baby brother. I was probably 15 at the time, and I was stepping down our back veranda steps, and I missed the last step. Huh. And as I fell, I swiveled around my body on my back, and I actually caught him midair to protect him.
Joe,
yeah.
You can use that forever.
We're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, we're both fine. Actually, yeah, no injuries, amazingly. But, very lucky. Good. Very lucky. Oh,
happy ending. Mate, that step that you don't expect, or the lack of a step, mate, that'll get you.
That'll get you every time.
Yeah. Going to Grove now. Zara, do you know where Loggy lives?
No. That is a random question. Don't answer that, Zara.
She's also Grove.
I have no idea.
No, good. Great answer. What about catching a human, Zara? Have you ever caught one?
Well, yes, but there was a bit of pre-planning in this. So my 3-year-old daughter used to stand on these wooden steps, and it was about a flight of steps, and at the bottom was a concrete, it was a concrete floor, and she would see me come in the door. We were sort of building at the time, so it was a bit rustic. And she would see me, and she would spread her arms out wide and start falling forward. And I had literally seconds to run and grab her before her little skull hit the concrete.
Honey. Yeah.
And she'd do it from time to time.
So it was a bit of
a trust exercise.
Yeah, and you could never. So you never knew whether she was going to do it or not. But geez, when she did it, you had to move.
Yeah, I could tell the look on her face. She would just go, it's time, Mum. And 3 years old, she didn't know what she was doing.
No, Zara, that's like the Hunger Games. That's like intense. Yeah. It's like, I'm doing it.
It's a Squid Game.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yes. I think she got off on the panic on my face.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
Mate, children, how good are they?
Oh, man.
Brilliant. All right, let's wrap it up with Casey in Motawari. Casey, have you ever caught a human being?
I definitely wouldn't say that they were caught, but there were attempts made to.
Oh, God. Go on.
In my youth, I grew up in the Byron Shire, and as you guys might know, there were a lot of music festivals up there.
Yeah.
And we were at a music festival, Splendor in the Grass, once, and during a Tame Impala session, and someone thought it would be a really good idea to crowd surf on their skateboard. All was going really, really well until they lost their balance, and there was probably at least 15 of us below this man. And even though there were 15 of us, not a single one of us managed to figure out how to catch this person. And it was like a ghost falling through a floor. He just kept falling and falling, and everyone fumbled, and he ended up actually breaking his shoulder. Very much facing the wrong way, and they had to stop the set, medics in, and this man was not in a good way, and we all felt so guilty that out of 15 of us, not even a single one.
Tom and Loggy, that was a podcast, and hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.